This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد All praises to Allah who guided us to this, who guided us to Islam and to Iman and to his Mubarak house on this Mubarak hour of this Mubarak day of this Mubarak month. And we were not to be guided, was it not that Allah had guided us? Oh Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. Oh Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you're the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, our master Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions and upon his pure wives and upon his Mubarak and blessed family and progeny and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached the end of the first third of Dhul-Qa'dah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his divine calendar, in his celestial calendar that he sent down to the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam and down to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of the 12 months of the year, he made 4 months sacred. Those 4 months of Dhul-Qa'dah, the month that we're currently in, Dhul-Hijjah, the month in which the pilgrims will make Hajj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sacred and blessed house, and Muharram, the month in which the pilgrims will return to their homes. And then after that, Allah ta'ala made one satellite month that's detached from the other three, which is the month of Rajab, which is 2 months before the month of Ramadan. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ancient system. This is a system that used to be observed even in Jahiliyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his blessed house, the Kaaba, as a مثابة للناس وأمنا a place where the people gather together and come together, and a place of safety and a place of security. We do not say that only Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, or Sayyidina Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hajj of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the commandment for Hajj was something that was established with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And it will not be abrogated until the Yawmul Qiyamah. It will not be abrogated as long as the people are alive, and as long as the name of Allah is taken, and as long as people say La ilaha illallah in this world until the Yawmul Qiyamah, it will not be mansukh, it will not be abrogated. In fact, this is an item of our aqidah. This is a point of our aqidah. Whoever reads the aqidah tahawiyah, which is a small and basic formulation, the most basic formulation of the creed and the belief of the Muslims, which is agreed upon by every side of this ummah, by every madhab from the madhab of fiqh, from every madhab from the madhab of aqidah, from all of the people of the sunnah. This is an agreed upon work and an agreed upon summation, summary of the beliefs of the Muslims. One of the beliefs of the Muslims is what? Is that the Hajj is not to be abrogated. It is not mansukh. It is not waived as an obligation for this ummah. Not by the justice of a just ruler, nor by the tyranny of a tyrant. In every year, there are some people who are obliged and obligated to go and make Hajj in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those of you who are familiar with the history of the Muslims, you will know in the Middle Ages, there was a heretical, radical sect known as the Qaramita. They took over Hijaz, wal-iyadu billah. They destroyed the Kaaba stone from stone, and they stole the black stone. They took the black stone to their base in Bahrain on the eastern coast of the Arabian Peninsula, and they built another Kaaba over there, and they put the black stone in it, and they called the people, come make Hajj in our Kaaba now. None of the Muslims obliged, and the Muslims fought them, and they eventually retook 16 years. There was no Kaaba. The Kaaba was broken stone from stone. 16 years. No black stone. 16 years, the Makkah Mukarramah, the Masjid al-Haram, is completely destroyed. They called the people to make Hajj in their Kaaba in Bahrain. Nobody went. And as the Muslims took Hijaz over from them, and as their political hegemony started to implode in on itself, what they did is they said, fine, we'll give you the black stone back, but you have to give us a ransom. You have to give us a large payment in order for us to give it back to you. So some tujjar and some ahlul khair, some wealthy private individuals, they gathered the ransom money together. They paid the ransom money, and the black stone was thrown into the Jami' Masjid of Kufa in Iraq in a bag shattered in pieces. If you go to this day to the Kaaba and you look at the black stone, you won't be able to because there'll be too much rush. But if you see a photo of it, what it is it's obsidian glass. You'll see it's shiny. It's not like a rock. There are only small patches of it that look like a rock. That's the fragments of the black stone. The artisans and smiths did the best that they could. They made fashioned silver nails, and they drove them through the pieces that were remaining of the black stone to make it one piece. And they put it in melted glass so it would hold together. And that's what the people go and make ziyarah of this day. It's not all the black stone when you touch it. What's the lesson, however? Even in these 16 years, when there was no black stone, and indeed there was no Masjid al-Haram, and there was no Kaaba either, the Hajj didn't stop. The people still came and visited the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people still made tawaf around the place where the Kaaba should stand. The people still went to Arafat, even though there are very few, and it was at the peril of death oftentimes that people did it. The ulama of the Haramain Sharifain will confirm to you this fact, that this silsila was never cut off, this silsila was never broken. I myself, when I was in the university, I took classes in the Near Eastern Languages Department. They have people who teach Arabic that are not Muslims. They're not anywhere close to being Muslims. And they have very strange ideas about Islam, many of them. One of the teachers, he said, have you ever read the Tafsir bin Kathir? From the tafsir that he gives for Surah Taha, Surah Qasas, he mentions that the Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he made Hajj when he was wandering in the desert. I said, yeah, I read that. He says, you know what? I'll tell you what. I think it's true. He says, I think that the Mount Sinai is named in the Bible by different names, and one of the names of the Mount Sinai is Horeb. He says Horeb is, if you look in the books of Tariq, Horeb is not in the Sinai Peninsula. It's where it's in Tabuk. It's in the northern part of Hijaz. It's in the area that's close to what's now Tabuk. He says that, I believe that this is an ancient tradition that's not something just that the Arabs used to keep. It's an ancient tradition that was kept by all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. The name of the valley of Bakkah. Bakkah is an old name of Makkah Mukarramah. Some of the ulama say it's just Iqlab Shafawi. The meem becomes a ba. The meem becomes a ba. And some of the ulama say that no, it was called Bakkah. Why? Because the root in the Arabic language, Bakkah Yabki, means to cry. That this is the place that makes tyrants cry. Anybody who comes with takabbur and with arrogance into this place, Allah Ta'ala will break them in half. This is why the Surah Al-Fil is a surah of the Quran. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. That a person with takabbur came with his elephants and he tried to destroy the house of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala destroyed him. To this day, for the person who goes on Hajj, the barrier between Muzdalifah and Mina, it's a barrier of a stone's throw. It's called Batn al-Muhassar or Wad al-Muhassir. That is the place where the Adab of Allah Ta'ala came down and the army of Abraha was destroyed. This place, it's a sunnah to this day that when the Hujjaj walk through this place, they shouldn't walk slowly. Rather, they should seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from His Adab, and they should go through it quickly as they're able to, as quickly as possible. These ancient rites are established from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Mufassirin say, Hatta Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam made Hajj of the house during the flood in his boat, and he made tawaf around the Kaaba in his boat. If someone finds this far-fetched and difficult to believe, you can look up the historical pictures, because Makkah Mukarramah sits fi batn al-wad. It's in the navel of a valley. It's the lowest point of a valley. So when it rains, all the water drains down to where the haram is. And you'll see that the in Ottoman times, there's actually photos, pictures of the entire sahn, the mataf, filling up with water and people swimming around the Kaaba, literally, and making tawaf this way. That Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was commanded by Allah Ta'ala to take his ark and to make tawaf from the Kaaba. This is an ancient rite, and it's a rite that is not propped up by any government. If the government stopped this day, do you think that the red light will be red and the green light will be green anymore? No, if there's nobody to give, you know, to run the power plant, then the traffic lights won't work anymore. There won't be any speed limit the day the cops stop using their radar. There won't be a bank the day that the Central Reserve stops lending money to your neighborhood friendly or unfriendly bank, depending on what your aqidah is regarding that. There won't be any water running in your faucets the day the government stops doing any of these. All of these things they'll disappear. The day the government stops paying checks to the teachers, there will be no school to go to anymore for the children. What will they do? They'll come to the masjid and they'll learn how to read Quran, which is what they used to do before the government paid the paychecks to the teachers who are teaching this day. All of these things are running through what? Through money and through the organization and system of governments, and through the systems of power. The Hajj, the visitation of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is definitely aided by governments. But if the governments disappear, and the governments have disappeared at several points throughout the history of Islam, both before the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and after the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even if that aid should stop, the visitation of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it never stops. It never stops. If you watch they have literally a camera or several cameras aimed at the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally, the tawaf never stops. Even during the sacred hour of Jumu'ah, when the khutbah is being given, still there are people coming in and circling the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even on the day of Eid, when the Eid khutbah is being given, there are people circling the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only time the tawaf stops is for the fard prayer. For the fard prayer five times a day, it stops and everybody engages in salat. And as soon as assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, even for the janazah, it doesn't stop. For the janazah of the people who died, still people are making tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in the heavens, that's how it is in the earth. As in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in al-baytul ma'mur, in the heavens, the angels are constantly praying and making tawaf around the qibla, which is the point from which the barakat and fuyud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are distributed. The rahmat of Allah ta'ala are distributed through the kainat, through the akwan, through existence and through all of the forms and shades and dimensions of existence Allah ta'ala created. Those few that we knew, those few that we know about, those few that we can imagine, and those many that we never thought about and we could never imagine. Just like that's happening in the heavens, this is a fadl and barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the earth. He gave us the permission and the honor to be able to fulfill these rights as human beings, as physical beings, as animal-like beings, that we can, for some small part and for some small amount, participate in this heavenly and celestial ritual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the order of His entire existence run around and follow and submit to, brothers and sisters. And He chose His elect and select servants to establish these rites and to establish these rituals. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, sahibun millah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the patron of this millah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, according to most of the ulama, was not Abu Hanifa because he had a daughter named Hanifa. Rather, he was Abu Hanifa. Why? Because he was Abu Hanifa, ya'ni sahibun millat al-hanafiyya. He was the patron of the millah of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Hanif, wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen alayhi salam. He was the patron of the millah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the paragon, the prime example and the prime exemplar of the millah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This millah is the millah that we carry. It's the millah that many people make the claim that they represent, but very few people are actually able to represent. It is the claim to carry the millah of Sayyidina Ibrahim that many people claim to represent, but we're the only ones by Allah Ta'ala's fadl we actually represent it. Don't the Yahud claim that they are also the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Don't the Nasara also claim that they are the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam? The Muslims also claim that they represent the millah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just look at this Eid which is coming up in front of us. This Eid is a sacred day, it's a holy day for all of us. It's a holy day and a sacred day for all of us as Muslims. The other two parts of the millah have forgotten about it. They've forgotten about it. If you read Jewish theology, if you ask a rabbi next time there's an interfaith discussion, they talk about the occasion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice his son. They talk about it. In Hebrew they call it the Aqidah, right? Aqad in Arabic means to tie something, to bind something, right? The Aqidah is the binding or the tying of Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, the tying of him to be sacrificed. Obviously there's two opinions amongst the Muslims, that was it Sayyidina Ismail or was it Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. The primary opinion and the mashhur and the mu'tamid opinion amongst our ulama is that it was Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. There is an opinion that is narrated by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum as well, that it was supposed to be Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. At any rate, it's irrelevant to the moral of the story. And when talking to the Yahud and the Nasara about this, don't let them catch you up on this point, which is a detail. The detail is not relevant to what the moral is. It's important, but it's not a key part of what the story is, and it doesn't teach you the lesson that the story is trying to teach you. Why? Because they say the reason it's Ishaq alayhi salam is because of his birthright and whatever, and the covenant goes with this one, with that one. We're saying, fine, you will concede this point for the point of argument. Ala sabil al fard. That's fine. You will conditionally say, okay, even if it's Ishaq alayhi salam, it doesn't affect the story. What is the story? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice what was dearest to him. Allah ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice what was dearest to him. And what did he do? He came with camels and with livestock, with animals, with property, sacrificed more and more and more until the vision, the dream, the commandment became clear to him that what does he have to do? He has to sacrifice that which is dearest to him, yani his only son. Sacrifice what? His only son. Now, this is the ancient world. This is ancient times. Nowadays, if you become hungry, what do? You go to Giant Eagle, you go to Taco Bell, you go to this place, that place. There's food everywhere, mashallah. For those of you who've lived in the Badia before, in the desert, even if you want to drink a cup of tea, forget about a meal. If you want to drink a cup of tea, it's difficult enough where you're going to get the tea from. It's all the way in China. Fine, here's the tea right there. What do you have to do? Go out, chop wood. Take a piece of cloth, tie, because it's not like there's trees out in the desert. Right? You have to take a hizam and bind up brush, essentially. That brush, you have to start a fire with it. There's no matches and there's no lighter. It's very difficult to start a fire. Then when the fire is going, if you have a kettle, if you get water from the well, if you have the tea leaves, then you can make the tea. It's a very difficult process. That's just for a cup of tea. Imagine for a meal. Now imagine a man is what? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was over the age of 80, first when he has his son, when he has Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. If you say Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, then he's even older than that. And then give even 14 years for the child to become an adult. So someone is nearing 100 years of age. Someone is nearing 100 years of age. What is he going to do if he sacrifices his own son? When the day he becomes sick, he's not going to be able to eat or drink anything. He's not going to, no one's going to be there to help him, to serve him. This is a death sentence. This is not what bothers Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam as much. What bothers him even more, or what pains him even more alayhi salam, is what? That this child he's going to sacrifice, this child is the sacrifice not only of the dunya, but it's the sacrifice of the deen. Because he had hope that Allah Ta'ala will put nubuwa in the seed of this child. Allah Ta'ala, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِ أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً, that Allah Ta'ala will make from this child the people who carry the risala, the message of tawheed amongst people, so that it will not die. And that everything that these children do through their nubuwa and through their salah and through their taqwa and through their iman, it will be a dhakhira, it will be a treasure of reward for Sayyidina Ibrahim, and pride and happiness for him on the Day of Judgment. All of this he's being asked to sacrifice. Ask the rabbis about the Akedah, what will they tell you? They'll say, well, many of our rabbis say that Abraham failed the test because God told him to do something that was unjust, and he should have said to God, no, I'm not going to do it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam there to teach you? They'll say this to you. This is not something I'm making up. Are they there to teach you about Allah? Or are they there to teach you to ignore Allah? Are they there to make you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are they there to teach you to hate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are they there to make you believe in His justice? To believe in His uprightness? To believe in His order? To believe in His mercy? Or are they to believe in making tawakkul and trusting on Him? Or are they there to make you question the one thing that you should never have to question, and to disbelieve in the one thing that you should always be able to believe in? Brothers and sisters, with all due respect, obviously our brothers and sisters from the Yahud and Nasara, we give them the due respect that every human being gives, and we always say that every human being should be treated with a basic modicum of respect and with rights. But in the Midan, in the field of theology, this is completely bankrupt. This is, if you're Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, this is your expectation from them, then what do you expect from your awam, from your regular people? What do you expect from them that their ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala will be? No, rather, what do we say as Muslims? We say Sayyidina Ibrahim passed the test. Sayyidina Ibrahim passed the test because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the right to be loved for who He is, and His order is to be obeyed because He's the one who gave it. And Allah Ta'ala told Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice who? Sacrifice the one who is dearest to him. And he did it. He did it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that from him, and Allah Ta'ala loved him. What is the sifa of the believers? What is the descriptor of the believers? Right? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So the people who will come after the Muhajirin and the Ansar, Allah Ta'ala says in His book, their description will be that they are the people who say, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive those who came before us in faith, and don't put in our hearts rancor toward those who believe. O our Lord, indeed You are most kind and most merciful. And what is the sifa of the people of Kufr? What is the description of the people of Kufr? كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعْنَةٌ تُخْتَهَا. Every time an ummah of people enter into the hellfire, they will curse the people who came before him. This is why this is our aqidah, that the best of generations are the ones who saw and took Islam and deen from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma alladhina yalunahum. Then those who came after. Anyone who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and doesn't have love for those people who came before, that person, there's an i'wijaj, there's a crookedness inside of their iman. So look, what is the ta'wil? The same story the Yahud and Nasara have, the same story that we have. What is their ta'wil? Their ta'wil is that Sayyidina Ibrahim was wrong and Allah was wrong. What is our ta'wil? Allah is right and He can never be wrong. And Sayyidina Ibrahim stuck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's right. What? We have love for those who came before us and we follow in their path. Not only in the correct interpretation of the story, but more than that, those people who claim that we are the children of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they curse their forefather, they curse Allah Ta'ala, and that's it, that's where the ta'alluq ends. With us, it goes even further than that. Because the Eid is not something that we celebrate. The Eid is something we do with our own hands. Understand that the Eid is not something we celebrate, the Eid is something that we do with our own hands. Who is the person who knows more about basketball? The commentator on ESPN who knows the stats of every single player? Or LeBron himself who knows how to dunk the ball? You can talk about the game on TV all you want. If you don't know how to play, you don't know how to play. Brothers and sisters, the deen, this is one of the unique and strange blessings of this deen. We're not commentators. We're actually playing the game right now ourselves. And this ummah, by Allah's fadl, even if I as an individual am not good at it, there are many people in this ummah that are very good at it by Allah's fadl. And they're a source of inspiration and barakah for all of us. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ وَجَدَ سَاعَةً لِأَنْ يُضَحِيَ فَلَمْ يُضَحِي فَلَا يَحْضُرَنَّ مُصَلَّانَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَلَا يَقْرُبَنَّ مُصَلَّانَا. The one who finds the ability to sacrifice on the day of Eid, and that person does not sacrifice, there's no point in that person attending our Eid prayer, attending Musalla of Eid, to say the Salat al-Eid in the morning and to hug people two times and three times and all of these things. No point. No point at all. Why? Because this Eid was an Eid for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because of his sacrifice, Allah accepted from him. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept from anyone except for the ones who fear him. For the person who Allah Ta'ala accepts his sacrifice, for that person it's Eid Mubarak. For the person who doesn't even give the sacrifice in the first place, what are you there to celebrate, brother? Why are you here? You showed up to the wrong place. You showed up to the wrong place. Allah Ta'ala asks from all of us great sacrifices. The deen is not easy. The deen is not easy. وَجَاهِدُ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Is this easy? Struggle in the path of Allah Ta'ala as this is His right that you struggle. Is His right small or is it great? It's not just great, it's absolute. It encompasses everything in the heavens and the earth. It's impossible to fulfill. وَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And Allah Ta'ala didn't put any difficulty in the deen for you. Meaning what? Not that the deen is easy. The deen is difficult. But the reason there's no haraj is because He's the one who's there to help you. Look at the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He takes his son to sacrifice him. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam says to his father, "Oh my father, when you bind me, make sure you bind the ropes tightly and bind me facing down so that you don't look at my face and feel mercy and hesitate in executing the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Shaitan tries to tempt Sayyidina Ibrahim and he doesn't take it. Shaitan tries to tempt Sayyidina Ismail and says, "Your father, old man, is crazy, he's going to kill you, you know that?" Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam doesn't take it. He tries to tempt Sayyidina Hajar alayhi salam, the mother of Sayyidina Ibrahim, or sorry, the mother of Sayyidina Ismail and the grandmother of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And she doesn't take it. What happens? That he binds him, he says, "Bind me facing down so that mercy doesn't overcome you and you involuntarily are unable to fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then what does he do? He runs the knife over the throat of his son. He actually runs the knife over the throat of his son. And he says, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah." He runs the knife, can you imagine that? He actually runs the knife over the throat of his son. The Mufassirin said that Allah Ta'ala, it's a miracle that Allah Ta'ala made his throat hard like copper, like metal, so that it wouldn't go in. But he actually runs the knife through the throat of his son. Right? It says, the Mufassirin say that he's running, he's saying, "La ilaha illallah," when he's cutting the throat of his son. And the angel Jibreel comes down at that moment. And he says to him, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," to get his attention. He says, "La ilaha illallah," he's not paying attention. He's just so engrossed, he's so engrossed in the act that he's doing, the act of sacrifice. And then afterward, Sayyidina Jibreel says, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," again to get his attention. And Sayyidina Ismail realized, "Hey, I'm not dead." And he says, "Walillahi alhamd." He says, "What?" He says, "Walillahi alhamd." This entire thing we reenact in our own lives. It's not the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim. He did his sacrifice. تِلْكَ الْأُمَمُ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. They did their sacrifice. Now it's time for you to make your sacrifice. Time for me to make our sacrifice. The one who does it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ma amila ibn Adam min amalin yawm an-nahri ahabbu ila Allah min ihraq ad-dam." The son of Adam in those 3 days, because the holy months, the Ashhur al-Hurum, are the most sacred months in the year. And from amongst them, the most sacred month is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And from amongst them, the most sacred days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And from amongst them, the most sacred day is what? The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. And in that day, what is the most sacred act a person can do? It's a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the son of Adam will not do any action more beloved to Allah Ta'ala on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah than spilling the blood of sacrifices. وَإِنَّهُ لِيَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِقُرُونِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا وَأَظْلَافِهَا. That sacrifice will come, it will be made to live again, and it will come and bear witness on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. With its horns, and with its hair, and with its hooves. It comes in a narration that what? That literally the hashr, the people will have to walk long distances to the place of judgment. That the people of sacrifices will literally ride the animals that they sacrificed on the day of Eid. On that day, it will be something that will aid them and will lighten their load on that day. It will come. Every single hair on the body of that animal will be counted as a good deed. Every drop of blood from that animal will be counted as a good deed. The horns will be counted as a good deed. Every part of that animal will come yawm al-qiyamah as a good deed. وَإِنَّ الدَّمَ لَيَقَعُ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمَكَانٍ قَبْلَ أَن يَقَعَ بِالْأَرْضِ. And that blood that is shed from that animal, it will find a place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah will accept it so quickly. It will find a place with Allah ta'ala before it even finds a place on the earth for it to land. فَطِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. So, oh, ya ayyuha al-mu'mineen, ma'ashara al-mu'mineen wa ma'ashara al-muslimin, طِيبُ بِهَا نَفْسًا. Oh, you who believe, oh gathering of the believers, oh gathering of the Muslims, be happy about that. Be happy about that. This is wa khayrun mimma yajma'un. This is the reason Imam Abu Hanifa and his companions, they considered the sacrifice on the Yawm al-Nahr to be wajib from the wajibat of deen. This is the reason that the other Imams all considered it to be a very heavily emphasized sunnah. It's a wajib that's very easily fulfilled by the one who wants to fulfill it. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال عز وجل في مقام آخر لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم وصدق الله العظيم وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. قال الرب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. وقال عز وجل مخبرا عن مقام نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمرا بحقه حيث قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك كل خير سألك محمد نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر نستعاذك منه سيدنا نبينا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقم الصلاة.